Everybody got a Bible?
Maybe we do.
Maybe we do, maybe we don't.
Get one. Turn to Psalm 141. Is everybody here who's here? Oh yeah, he had to take Haley. We've been talking about being open and talking and being real with one another. And this psalm speaks to that. So, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands is the evening sacrifice. This is another one of those places where our prayers are as the picture of this incense rising up to God. And in fact, other places it talks about our thoughts are the same thing. Our thoughts are always going. And there's this incense that's always going up depending on what God we're worshiping. But he says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. And this is talking, as we know, it's not just what you're saying, it's what's going on inside your mind. You know. And the idea is to be aware of what's going on in your mind, because, you know, given 2 seconds, you'll be off over the cliff worshiping idols. So he says, set a watch means just let me be vigilant and understand what's going on so I can revenge the disobedience quickly.
That very thing happened to me on the way down
here this morning.
Really? Exactly. Aware of the thoughts that were going on and examining them and doing this and that, finally, you know, flush this stuff.
Yeah. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. I love that. Eat of their dainties. When your heart is inclined, this is the same picture as in Romans, where it talks about being carnally minded. In the words themselves, that's what it implies. Your mind or thoughts are inclined towards this world. They're inclined towards yourself. They're inclined towards the dust of the earth rather than heaven. So he says, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And this is another one of those places where iniquity is the word aven, which is translated self-exertion. So it's not, you know, iniquity, which we spring, you know, what springs to our mind is, you know, all of our normal things we think are evil. God thinks self-exertion is evil. For self-exertion for anything. For even sincerely nice things that, you know, society would applaud you for. It's across the board, self-exertion is evil. And so his prayer is, you know, not to incline his heart towards practicing wicked works with men that work self-exertion.
That reminds me of that passage someplace we read about how we defile the fast. You don't even fast properly. You know the one I'm talking about? You fast to make your own self known and gain righteousness.
Yes. What is it? Yeah. 158.
We can even turn that into self.
What is it? Isaiah 58. I'm getting my numbers screwed up, as usual. And let them not eat of their dainties. This reminds you of the Daniel, being in Babylon and not eating of the king's food. But whenever we incline our heart to self-exertion, we're feeding on something that's not the manna of God. It's the, it's just air. It's like we're trying to get something out of our self-exertion to pump us up or make something happen, and we may get a tingle here and there, but it's just air. It's death to do that. Now this is the place in verse 5 that I really wanted to go. Let the righteous smite me, and it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, and it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, and they are sweet. This is what we're talking about with opening up to each other and being ever ready to speak to one another, to exhort one another. Because, just this, even though it's, I may have something to say to you that you don't want to hear in the flesh, it's actually in the spirit, it's a sweet oil of healing. And the same for you speaking to me, to one another. And this is just a great passage about what being a body is all about. There's a lot of times I need to be smitten, and I'd rather have the righteous smite me than, to wander out further into the field someplace where, some Goliath's going to drop a boulder on me or something. I want you to smite me first before I get out there to, get in even deeper trouble. What do you mean, speaking of trouble? Hey, it's Roberto.
What happened to your head?
Maybe you want to my head.
He got a haircut. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth.
Wait, you skipped the most important part.
Did I?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I read verse 6.
Five and six.
I read verse 5 and 6. Did I skip something?
Well, the important thing there is that the person speaking changes. It's like Christ is saying that in the midst of their suffering, my words will be sweet. In the midst of their day of calamity, they'll remember me.
Yeah.
Do you think we all knew that already?
Well, all right. I'll be smitten, I guess. Right. Our bones are scattered. Where was I? Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. I was just thinking that in verse 7, this is the situation this is the way we are. We're in this place where we're so smashed and down and chopped up by everything that it's as if somebody would just, had been chopping wood. And if you've ever seen that, it's just chips are everywhere. And we're were scattered all over the place. But even in that place, or maybe especially in that place, it says, "But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins or traps of the workers of iniquity." And iniquity is the same word here again. The workers of self-exertion. And these are the traps are laid, and the workers of self-exertion are, they're all in here in your mind. In my mind. And they're all wanting us to do something. To lean on our own understanding, to trust in our own strength about something. And when we do that, I mean, if we get, it's like you get off into that arena and then you don't hear anybody else. You don't hear anybody's, you don't hear the righteous words from the brethren. You just, you know, you're self-exerting yourself towards something. And you go right off the cliff into death.
It's as if in that place your heart becomes uncircumcised, your ears are closed, and even, you know, even if somebody's crying, you just can't hear. Because you've got their agenda.
Yeah. I mean, this is a great prayer, this whole psalm, for us to have every day. So it says, "Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets," or actually it's, I think it says deep pits, "whilst that I with all escape," or pass over these pits. And that's what when the righteous speak to us, they're keeping us from falling into these deep pits. Sometimes when the righteous, because if you speak to me, you know, if you're in the Spirit, it's the righteous speaking to me. It's Christ Himself is speaking to me through you. Or Christ is speaking through me to you, or, you know, whatever's happening. And it's not... And you have to see it that way. You know, you can't just think about it like, you know, Tom is telling me something. What the heck does he know? You know, heck. You know, you have to be listening. You have to be listening for the Messiah. You know, for the righteous one speaking. And if you listen for him, then that's, you can, that's, then there'll be a connection. We got to see through each other's flesh. We've got to not know one another after the flesh. That's what it says in the New Testament. But for us to be a functioning body, this has to be our prayer. We have to welcome this process where it says, let's read that again. "Let the righteous smite me, and it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, and it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head." And, you know, it's, the words are sweet when you hear who is talking. And when, really, when you just know that you need to be spoken to. And it works both ways, too. You need to be ready to speak. Even when what you're going to say, you might think, this is going to break this guy's head. And that's not. That's what it says.
What do you call it, oil?
It becomes oil. It's transformed into sweet oil that heals. And really rescues people from the deep pits. But I love it when I'm going through the... One time I went through my Bible and I found all the places where oven is used, and I underlined them, so whenever I run across it, I'd know it. It's all over the place. Self-exertion. It comes from this word that means to pant from it, you know, like you get tired and you're panting. And that's what it feels like when we're on one of these deals. You know, we're working, we're pushing, we're, you know, giving it our all, and it's wearing us out. And we, you know, it's like it implies having a big burden, like pushing a, you know, a Sisyphus pushing this thing up the mountain. And we're panting, we're sweating, we're, you know, doing everything in our power to make something happen. And we've forgotten completely where the rest is, the peace and the rest. And that's where God lives, not in the self-exertion at all. Anybody got a response? Any words to break my head?
Very good. Wonderful exegesis.
In that case, everybody's wonderfully perfect and ready to jump out there this morning. So, praise the Lord. Go and do likewise. Jesus wept.